Miami Memoirs presents real case histories and true stories related to the law practice and experiences of Florida attorney Lewis M. Ress. Miami Memoirs uncorks a caseload of true, weird, wonderful, and wild stories from an always eventful 6 decades of life in the law. From multi-million-dollar land deals to the ghostly aftermath of an Everglades plane disaster via a prematurely deep-frozen cat, these tales feature a parade of unforgettable characters, all sharply observed by a storyteller with a very human empathy for ordinary and extraordinary individuals caught up in the law.
Lewis has just released a new book, Miami Memoirs, including The Maharani's Ring. Fans of strange cases and wild tales will need no introduction to the author's brilliant and fast-paced storytelling, laced with salty evocations of the human carnival of the era and shot through with compassionate insight. From advising the heir to Colonel Sanders and falling out with Buddy Hackett to nighttime jogging with Vitas Gerulaitis, the stories keep on coming. Larry the charismatic Wheeler dealer needs to be rescued from yet another risky deal, and a bridge-playing mobster needs help to find his missing daughter. All this and more, along with sage advice against buying a lottery ticket you might win. Welcome to round two. And now, let's begin.
Hi everyone, welcome to Miami Memoirs, Strange Cases and Wild Tales with Lewis Ress. I'm Jeanette, your host, and today we're going to be doing episode 44, The Great Debate.
Good
so,
morning,
Lewis, how are you doing?
Good morning, Jeanette, my host. Used to be hostess, now we changed it. Everybody's male.
Yeah.
There's no more actress, actor, aviatrix, no
take
more.
Off that last part there, yeah.
Tells you how the English language is changing. Mm-hmm. And it's changed since The Great Debate. When was the Great Debate?
What was that, a presidential debate we're talking about? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to talk to you about presidential debates. This one was the famous Lincoln-Douglas debate.
Oh, okay.
I think it's the most famous debate in American history. And it goes back to 1858 when Lincoln challenged Stephen Douglas for one of Illinois's two Senate seats. Hmm. And, of course, Douglas became a senator from Illinois when Lincoln was president, I believe. So Lincoln debated Douglas, and the issue was slavery.
Oh.
Douglas took the position that the slaves were possessions and that each state should decide whether to allow slavery.
Hmm.
And, in fact, later on there was an act, a law passed, that they debated about each state having the right to decide slavery.
Mm.
And it's no different today than abortion.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big argument that each state should be able to decide women's rights to their own bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a state issue and not a federal issue.
Right.
Of course, that's sort of nonsense. But Lincoln, in a surprise response to Douglas's position that the slaves were possessions, he said that the slaves were people and had rights under the Constitution, the same rights that each of us has.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the Supreme Court threw that out.
Huh.
That was the famous decision by Justice Taney.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that name before.
They threw that out, the Dred Scott decision,
mm-hmm.
and they said that slaves were possessions.
Wow.
And we could never become citizens. 7-2 decision by the brilliant Supreme Court. Tells you that the Supreme Court's not always perfect.
No. There's
a long history of imperfections and some very important recent ones.
Mm-hmm.
But the slaves were people. That's what Lincoln said. And as loyal Americans, Lincoln said, we had to honor the Constitution. I really don't think that the United States Supreme Court at that time looked at slavery the same way as Mr. Lincoln, but it worked out for Abe.
Mm-hmm.
And he was elected president.
Were you involved in the political debate?
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
My debate was with Senator Claude Pepper.
Mm.
And my debate was entirely different. The whole episode started in 1958 when my boss suggested that I get to know the influential people in our community by becoming involved in politics. And he selected the Democratic senatorial primary and introduced me to M. Lewis Hall, Jr., the Dade County chairman of the Spessard-Holland reelection campaign. Lou Hall came from a distinguished Miami family, the kind that have daughters in the junior league. He was a gentleman. He was refined. He wore Brooks Brothers suits, striped ties. He was a formal fellow. He was quite restrained and cool. and I was named as the North Dade chairman, which meant that I was to plan Senator Holland's activities when and if he ever came into my territory. Mm. My duties included...
Yeah, did you have other duties?
Yeah, they included making sure that the re-election materials were distributed. In other words, I was a flunky. Okay. I was introduced to Senator Holland on one or two occasions. The North Dade area was heavily for Senator Claude Pepper, who had been a flaming liberal. He was a pro-Soviet Russian, pro-Union, and he was known as Red Pepper.
Oh, and at the time, it was bad to be pro-Russia, wasn't it?
Well, until very recently, you were purged out of the movie industry. Mm-hmm. They had congressional hearings. You were called a damned commie sympathizer. Mm-hmm. That would destroy your career.
Yeah,
nowadays,
you get blacklisted, yeah.
Nowadays, the former president was a big pro-Russian guy, and the Republican Party became a pro-communist. It was very interesting how they changed. These right-wing people from the Midwest suddenly changed their values.
Who would have thought?
I know. In Florida at that time, the Democratic primary was, in fact, the whole election. And almost every Democrat who won the primary was elected. Senator Pepper had been appointed to a vacant Senate seat, and then he successfully ran for that seat and was a United States Senator from 1936 until the primary of 1950. When George Smathers knocked him out, and I'm going to tell you about that.
Mm-hmm.
That battle started when Senator Pepper became involved in trying to dump Harry Truman from the presidential ticket as a vice president, and Truman backed Smathers to get even. Backed Smathers against Pepper, and that campaign was bitter. I'm going to tell you what was said. It is rumored, but not confirmed, that Smathers accused Pepper in upstate rural areas of being a shameless extrovert. He further said that Pepper practices nepotism with his sister-in-law, and his brother is known as a homo sapien, and he has a sister who is a committed thespian in New York City. And also, before the marriage, he openly practiced celibacy.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Did
well,
Smathers
upstate,
actually
you know, that
say...
was bad stuff.
Did Smathers actually say those things?
Well, that's a question. Smathers denied saying them, and it was oral, and nobody can find any record of those speeches. It's interesting, you give a speech and it's gone forever, but I have a feeling it was true. And I'll give you some other ones about schools where the students were accused of actually sharing the same curriculum in the campus.
Oh,
men
okay.
and women sharing the same curriculum.
I see, okay.
A whole bunch coming at you.
All right.
Evidently, it was true that Senator Pepper had met Stalin in 1945, and he said that he was a man America could trust.
that sounds familiar for sure.
Yeah, well, Bush said, you know, George W., he said, I looked the man in the eye, and I found him to be very straightforward and trustworthy. Huh. That's what the Republicans said about...
Stalin?
No, Putin.
Oh, Putin, yeah.
Of course, Trump said, Putin is a killer, but we're no better. Mm. And, you know, there's good guys on both sides. That was President Trump.
Yeah.
He said, Putin looked me in the eye and said that I'm a genius.
So, oh, boy.
boy, it would be strange now that we're having this problem in Ukraine if the election had been different and if Trump had won in a landslide the way he claimed and his dealings with Putin might be entirely different than Biden's dealings with Putin now.
Yeah.
At any rate, Spessard Holland... came into Dade County. I didn't think that Claude Pepper stood a chance, but in my end of the county, Claude Pepper was very, very popular. And Senator Holland came into Dade County to campaign for a week. He stayed at the Columbus Hotel, and I was invited to accompany him wherever he went as part of his entourage. And that was really what I was doing in the campaign, meeting people.
And what was that like?
Well, the doors of the wealthiest families in Miami were opened to me. Introductions to the leaders of business and high-ranking politicians were extended, including the owner of Wometco Enterprises, who also owned the number one Miami TV station. That was Channel 4, CBS, I think, as well as almost all of the movie theaters in town. And in addition, they owned the Miami Seaquarium.
And did that help you out, having those connections?
It certainly helped me out, because through the insurance company, I was representing and defending all of Wometco Enterprises. So I was dealing with upper-level executives in Wometco, and he is the chairman of the board inviting me into his home. It did
hurt. Yeah.
So and it was a mansion on the bay in Miami Beach.
Nice place.
And Lou Hall took me aside, and he said, Senator Holland would like to spend a day campaigning in the North Dade area. You can set up the schedule with visits to places where he can meet people. Oh, yes, there will be a big debate with Senator Pepper at the opening of the new 163rd Street Shopping Mall at the end of the visit.
And what did you do?
Wow. I had 3 days to get ready. I was under pressure. The best places where I thought we wouldn't run into nasty Pepper supporters were bowling alleys. So we toured the Cloverleaf Lanes and the North Miami Bowling Center. Mm-hmm. And there were lots of people who wouldn't even come over to be introduced to the senators. Some were a little vocal in support of Senator Pepper, but considering that we were in pro-Pepper territory, the tour worked out quite well. And we all sat down to lunch at Wolfie's Deli.
Okay.
Did you ever hear of Wolfie's Deli?
Never.
We used to have these delis. You had to stand on line like kettles in lines controlled with posts and straps like the airport.
to be able to get your sandwich there?
Yeah, there was Wolfie's, there was Pumpernick's. They had a whole bunch of those places.
Okay.
And there were six of us at the table. Senator Holland turned out to be a white-haired, charming, tall, thin, gentle, sensitive man. He was really a nice guy.
Hmm.
He wore the Distinguished Flying Cross medal emblem on his lapel. I saw that right away.
Oh, nice.
He was clearly concerned about debating Senator Pepper before a dozen radio microphones with a hostile, tilted audience. So he said that he was tired, and he asked Lou Hall to debate for him with Senator Pepper.
Hmm.
Lou Hall was a gentleman's gentleman. He was not a debater. And he turned quite red-faced, and he said that it was not a debate for him. He was really upset, and there was dead silence at the table.
And what did you do?
Well, I said, Senator Holland, this is my area of Miami, and I am your North Dade chairman, and it would be my privilege to take your place tonight.
Wow, nice stepping up.
Well,
Lou
Hall turned white. He says, what's this upstart kid going to take on a United States senator in a debate in a big shopping center? It was going to be thousands of people there.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Lewis, are you sure you know what you are doing? This is Pepper Country, and there'll be microphones, and there'll be a very, very difficult crowd.
Wow.
And I said, you know, Lou, I'm proud to speak for Senator Holland. And so Senator Holland went back to the Columbus Hotel where he was staying. That was downtown Miami. It's no longer there. It's now a big high-rise. And Lou Hall met me at 6, and we went over to the mall. The crowd started to fill up the open area. The microphones were set up, and the debate started. And Lou Hall said to me, Lewis, what would you say? You go on first.
Oh, okay. And had you ever been in a political debate before?
No, I didn't know what I was doing. I just, sometimes in life, you jump into the gap and you got to do it.
You got to
take
a leap.
Chance. I took a leap. I said, it'll come to me. I didn't know what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by the time I was introduced, the night was dark. And I was blinded by the lights. I had never been on a podium like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't see very much of what appeared to be 2,000 people sitting in front of me.
Oh.
The minute Senator Holland's name was mentioned, the catcalls and the boos almost drowned out the PA system. And you think, you know, debates are tough today. They were pretty tough then. They threw vegetables and stuff.
And, wow. Yeah, you were in trouble there, huh?
Yeah. They were screaming obscenities and preparing to shower me with tomatoes. And I shouted into the mic. Something came to me. And I said, Lewis, use your head. Use your brains. You went to law school. You should be smart. You know, be smart. Think. Think creatively. I said, Senator Pepper is a great man. What the hell was I saying that? I was there for Senator Holland. And they were still shouting, throw the bum out. And I shouted again. I said, Senator Pepper is a great American. There was applause scattered. And there were no more catcalls. They stopped screaming and yelling. They said, what the hell is this guy? Who is he for?
You calmed them down for a second.
What, is he a turncoat? You know? Then I said, Senator Pepper is an honest and refined person. Wow. Heavy applause. They went crazy. And then it was silence, and they were listening to me. I said, Senator Pepper is a dedicated public servant. Enthusiastic shouting, wild applause. It was even greater. I said, Senator Pepper will work for Florida and work to keep America great.
Oh, that sounds a lot like Make America Great Again.
Yep, I was ahead of all of them.
Yeah,
this goes back to the 1950s. And I wasn't the first person to say that. That goes all the way back, Make America Great. Ronald Reagan said it after me, and the Bushes said it.
Oh, yeah.
So anyhow, the audience was thrilled with me. They were screaming. And I said,
and they thought they thought you were probably a traitor, huh?
They did. I said, so why am I here to seek your support for Senator Holland? Because just like Senator Pepper, Senator Holland is a great American. Did you know he was a gunner in the Hat and the Ring air fighters during World War I and shot down two Hun planes and was awarded the Distinguished Service Cross? Mm-hmm. Yes, they're both great Americans.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And I got some applause.
Yes.
Then just like Senator Pepper, Senator Holland is honest, and he's refined. They're both equally honest and refined and brave. Senator Holland confronted a lynch mob and got them to back down.
Wow, what did they say?
I got more applause. Mm. I was turning them. Mm-hmm. Just like Senator Pepper, Senator Holland is a dedicated public servant. Senator Holland supported legislation for teachers' retirement. Mm. Wow, these were union people. They applauded.
Yes.
Senator Holland supports workers' compensation and unemployment insurance. Big applause. Mm-hmm. Senator Holland helped get back the land for the Everglades National Park, and he helped start the national park. Of course, Truman did that. And they were going wild. They were really applauding. I said, so why do I come here before you and ask that you favorably consider Senator Holland? As between two wonderful, equally committed patriots, Senator Holland is able to deliver even more for us. He is a senior member of the Appropriations Committee. It takes years and years to get into that position. Seniority in the Senate is critical. Senator Holland is one of the most influential members of the Senate. He can get things done for Florida and for North Dade. It will take Senator Pepper many, many years to get to such an influential position.
Wow, you were on a roll, Lewis.
Well,
you had them.
It was just coming to me. And I said, I am proud and honored to be on the same platform with Senator Pepper. He is a gentleman in every respect. They were screaming approval. But I can tell you one thing, that Senator Holland is the same level of a gentleman and is in a position to do even more for our community.
Oh, wow. Nice close there. What happened next?
Senator Pepper rises, and he walks over to the microphone, and he says, there's only one thing wrong with that young man. He should be working for me. Early the next morning, I received a telephone call. It said, the senator would like you to join him for breakfast. He's at the Columbus. Mm-hmm. So I went down to the restaurant at the top of the Columbus, it was called, and there was the senator having coffee and reading the newspapers.
And what did he say to you?
He said, sit down, Lewis. He said, Lewis, you outdid yourself. What an excellent job. I'm very proud of you. You made all the papers. Whenever I am invited, wherever, no matter where, you and your little missus, Esther, will also be invited or I will not go there.
Wow, and did he live up to his word?
Yeah, he was making a very big statement about anti-Semitism.
And
he lived up to his word, and I think he kept out of restricted clubs. And, of course, we won the election with almost 70% of the vote, but Senator Claude Pepper carried Dade County.
And did you see Senator Holland again?
Yeah, I did. Years later, my partner had organized a group to apply for a bank charter, but we couldn't get approval. And I'm going to tell you about that bank.
Mm-hmm.
We had to get approval from the Comptroller of the Currency. We couldn't even get an appointment to see the Comptroller of the Currency.
Wow.
My partner asked me if I might be able to get an appointment with the Comptroller of the Currency through Senator Holland's office. So I called Merrill Winslet, the Senator's administrative assistant, and he said, "Lewis, you know, the Senator never gets involved in those things. It looks bad. Also, he and the Comptroller of the Currency do not get along. Sorry, but we can't help you." I said, "Merrill, all we want is an appointment, not an endorsement, just an appointment."
And what happened?
24 hours later, I had an appointment.
Nice.
I got it. He called me. He said, "The Comptroller will see you this Friday at 9 a.m. And we were in.
And what did you do with the appointment?
I spoke to my partner before. I said, "George, listen to me. We have to revise all of our projections and understate everything by 20% so that when they check out our application, we will look extremely conservative. Getting a federal bank charter is not a simple matter, and we were surprised at how cordial the Comptroller was to us. And 2 weeks later came the good news. We were given the charter over applicants from very influential sources.
Oh, that's great news.
Some of them were big developers of the Janus family. They built big subdivisions in Dade County and
wow.
were very affluent.
And why do you think you got it?
I found out why. First of all, we didn't exaggerate our numbers. And in fact, when they checked us out, we were 20% better than we represented. And the government liked that very much. Then I learned that Senator Holland had called the Comptroller. And he said, "You and I may not see eye to eye, but I'm calling you to tell you that Lewis Ress is a completely honest and trustworthy person."
Wow.
I never thought that Senator Holland would do that, but he was really a refined gentleman.
That's some story. He really had your back, and he really did appreciate you and what you did for him.
Yeah, it was a wonderful experience, the result of a very positive debate. Also,
yes.
I became friendly with Senator Pepper after that.
Oh,
and when
yeah.
I ran for Congress, he helped me raise money, and he endorsed me.
Very nice.
So
yeah.
he was a lovely human being, too, a very fine person. And he practiced law in Miami Beach. And Senator Holland had his name with Holland & Knight, the firm Holland & Knight, that mm-hmm. Senator Holland.
Oh.
But he never was involved with that law firm.
Okay.
He was out of that firm very early in his life.
Oh, I see.
And Senator Holland came from Bartow, Florida. So that was the great debate. So now...
Quite a debate, yeah.
The debate between Douglas and Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the debate that I had that was my great debate in
mm-hmm.
my life. And we talk about debates. Debates have changed. The refinement and the patina of interpersonal relationships in a debate is no longer exists.
Mm-hmm.
You take a look at the debate. Which debate do you recall?
Well,
the recent debate.
The past one, yeah.
Okay.
It was dirty. It was just, it was
Biden?
Absurd. Yeah.
Between Biden and
mm-hmm.
Trump. Okay.
Yes.
Let's, you brought that up. Let's talk about it.
Sure.
Do you know what Biden said? I thought Biden was a quiet, little mousy kind of guy, an old man, soft-spoken. He puts his hand on the back of his head and strokes his little white hair. But this guy's got a mouth.
Uh-huh.
And I checked. I got copies of the debate. It just happened. I knew that you were going to ask me.
Yes.
So here's what Biden said. He said, "Shut up, man." That's what he told him. He says, "Everything he is saying is a lie. Everyone knows he's a liar." You
That's
can't
true,
say.
Yeah.
I would never say. Then he said, "He's a racist." He says, "You were the worst president we've ever had." He said, "It's hard to get any word in with this clown."
Yeah.
And Trump was not that nasty. Mm. Trump said, "In 47 years, you've done nothing." So they were killing each other.
Yeah.
But in politics, the people behave strangely, very aggressively.
Yes.
And then they can change overnight, and your enemy becomes your friend, and they don't think anything about it.
Huh.
Former President Trump called Ted Cruz. He called him a bum. And he said, Ted Cruz's father was involved in the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, gosh.
And Ted Cruz's wife was ugly.
Oh, wow.
And how can you be with an ugly woman like that? And Ted Cruz was not an American. He was not born in the country. Well, he insulted the parent, the wife, the guy, personal insults.
Yeah.
And now he says, well, he said, and he called him Lion Ted. Lion Ted. And, of course, Trump was a birther, so it was nothing new for him to say that somebody, you know, he was the one that said Obama wasn't born in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So he finally, when Ted Cruz came around sniveling and genuflected and kissed Trump's ring, he said, oh, now it's beautiful, Ted. So suddenly he was okay. I can tell you how these debates go.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, if you want to prepare for a debate, you tell the candidate to listen to the questions carefully and then answer a different question.
Yeah.
prepare five questions, five answers.
See that, yeah.
And no matter what they ask you, answer one of the ones you're prepared for with all the statistics you have ready to spill out and all the polls you can quote. And, of course, polls are a lot of nonsense because it's who takes them.
Yeah.
And
they can be biased, yeah.
And then you can answer the question with a question. Why are you asking me such a stupid question? Anyone to ask a question like that's got to be a moron. Where are you coming from? What's the matter with you?
Right.
So you put them right on the other person, right on the defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And if they catch you lying, you say, I didn't lie, I misspoke myself. And that happens. Everybody misspokes themselves once in a while. And those were alternate facts I was quoting. And you remember that.
Uh-huh.
Who the lady from the spokesperson for the White House,
mm-hmm.
Little blonde lady. Who was her husband was a Republican too, and he didn't go for Trump. But she came up with alternate facts. So twist the words, twist the facts, make the other guy the aggressor, make him sound like you're being abused. If somebody hits you, or you hit somebody in the head with your fist, you punch him in the face, you say, how dare you put your face in my space where my hand was.
Right. That strategy. Yeah.
And then you turn on, and then you put everyone on the defensive. You say, you started it. You invaded my territory, my area. I'm here to protect you. You become like Putin.
Yeah.
You hear Putin debating?
Yeah.
He says, these are my people, my property, my freedom, my land, my airspace, my rights, my culture, my family. And he changes history.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an uncommon thing for people to do.
Yeah, they use rhetoric to change the narrative.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you some more about Senator Pepper and the working over he got from Smathers.
Hmm.
Smathers said, his daughter or his sister-in-law was a thespian living in Greenwich Village, New York City, and he's an extrovert. They didn't know what that was, and he practices nepotism with his sister-in-law. And he also practices humanism, so they think that's eating human people. You know, they don't know upstate Florida. And it was really funny what they got away with.
Just threw in some big words.
Smathers said, I actually saw Senator Pepper vacillating all over the floor of the United States Senate. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah. Just let people use their imagination. They don't know what that means.
Then, you know, words are very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Words convert into actions very often. And this is called inciting to violence.
Mm.
So we had that on the 6th of January, where this question of whether or not these people that invaded the Capitol were incited to violence.
Yeah.
Now, we used to have the alien and sedition laws. You know what they were?
No.
Well, that was, you can't criticize the government. They have that in Russia. 15 years if you criticize the government.
Huh.
So during World War One and during the War of 1812, they had alien and sedition laws. If you said something against the government, you could go to jail.
Oh, interesting.
And
I didn't know that.
You were a traitor, and you were helping the enemy, aiding the enemy.
That was here. We had that here.
Yeah, in the United States. Well, wow. They never enforced it. I think there was one conviction in the whole time, and then it was declared unconstitutional, I'm quite sure.
Okay.
So I did some research, because I'm always doing research.
Yeah.
And I told you about these colleges. The college came up in one legislature in a Midwest legislature for funding. Hmm. And they were in opposition to funding the college. And so they said, they made a speech, and they said, do you know in that college every one of them girl students is forced to show her thesis to a professor or they won't give her no grades? That's terrible. He says, do you know boys and girls use the same curriculum and they don't care who knows it? He says, do you know that men and women students matriculate in broad daylight right before everybody? And then they said a young college graduate started a whispering campaign, and he won the election because of it. And he said the older politician, he accused him of being a sexagenarian. He says he's a sexagenarian.
Yeah, it's all about not knowing what words mean, and then people just
they don't know.
Yeah.
So you start, and one guy got in big trouble because he attempted to try to interest a 13-year-old girl in philately.
Those are good.
I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
Yeah.
So now, what about some of the debates? Well, you know, I thought this was new. This degeneration of the refinement and the patina and the manners. And the rules, and Chris, what's his name, Wallace, saying, "Hold it! I'm controlling this debate, and hold on."
Right.
And you have to cut the microphone off and threaten, and you feel the violence. Well, there was actually violence on the Senate floor, and this goes back to 1856. Hmm. I found my son Andrew, who's up in Boca Raton. He's the only one who knew about this. I said something yesterday to him. He was doing some surgery on my leg. And I said, do you know about the caning in the United States Senate? He says, sure, that was Senator Charles Sumner. I said, how the hell did you know that?
Wow.
He said, I just knew. Well, in 1856, Senator Charles Sumner, who was from Massachusetts, from a very well-respected family, made a speech. And he accused the senator from South Carolina of being like Don Quixote. This was an anti-slavery speech.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that you delude yourself. You don't think you're a crazy man. And Don Quixote thought that this prostitute was the most gorgeous woman in the world. You know, he was psychiatrically disturbed. He was senile. And he said, you think slavery is so good. This is your prostitute. And he called him that he was in bed with the prostitute of slavery.
Uh-huh.
Well, it offended the senator's feelings. I think he was Andrew Butler was the name of the senator. Mm. And he had a cousin once removed by the name of Preston Brooks. And he was a representative in the Congress, in the House. And he was from South Carolina also. And he walked in with one of his friends who had a gun.
Oh.
And they walked into the floor of the Senate. And Senator Sumner was sitting at his desk. And he took this big cane, and it had a thick wooden cane. And it had a big gold handle on it. And he hit him on the head. He came up to him and he said, how dare you insult? An insult to my cousin is an insult to me and an insult to the South. How dare you? Hmm. And he took the cane and slammed him on the head.
Oh.
Not once or twice. He was Sumner was trapped under his desk. The desks were mounted on a track that moved back and forth. And he was trapped under there.
Oh, my gosh.
And he had his hand up to protect himself. And the guy kept hitting him on the head. Well, he knocked him unconscious. He hit him many, many times. And he caused brain damage.
Wow.
And Senator Sumner was out for 3 years
wow.
with post-traumatic head injury.
Oh, my goodness.
And stress disorder. And what did they do? They didn't do anything. They had a criminal trial. Mm-hmm. They fined him $300 and
That's
no
it?
Jail time. That was
oh
his thing.
Oh, my gosh.
There was no punishment. And Representative
and
Brooks
like,
resigned.
How did he get away with that?
Because my integrity is being questioned. And then he ran for re-election and he was re-elected. So he didn't pay any penalty for it at all.
Yeah, no, nothing.
So, and the people said, well, why not a duel? Why didn't he come in and ask for a duel? Because in those days they did a lot of dueling.
Right.
He said, Brooks said, that Senator Sumner was not an equal, and a duel was supposed to be between equals. And he said, he's a cur. he's a dog.
Yeah.
And I can't have a duel with him.
Hmm.
So they wound up, by the way, this thing was, the debate was over the Kansas-Nebraska Act. And that's the one I was telling you about where Douglas was in favor of the act, which was to allow each state to decide on slavery on its own
right.
instead
mm-hmm.
of declaring slavery to be illegitimate. And, oh, by the way, in those days, there was a lot of innuendos and accusations about slave owners having sex with their female slaves
right.
for compelling them to have sex, forcing them. And the Southerners accused the Northerners of wanting to cohabit and have children with the female slaves. And that miscegenation was a terrible crime.
Mm-hmm.
If you were one-eighth Afro-American in Florida when I took the bar, your marriage was null and void.
Wow.
There was an miscegenation statute in Florida.
Wow.
So that didn't go away until the 50s, I think.
That's crazy, yeah.
So they took the cane that was shattered. The cane was shattered.
I bet. How many times he hit him across the head with it?
They cut it into slivers to cross sections and drilled a hole through the center and made it into like a disc. And a lot of Southern politicians
mm-hmm.
got pieces of it, the rings.
Oh, my gosh.
And wore them around their neck on a chain. So that was... And the University of Virginia, the Debate Society, went out and had a new cane made with a gold head and replaced it, the broken one, and gave it to Brooks. And Brooks got involved in another argument with another senator by the name of Anson Burnham or Berlin or something. And he backed out.
Hmm.
Anson challenged him to a duel with rifles.
Huh.
And Brooks realized that the other guy was a very fine...
was a good shot?
Yeah, very, very good shot. And he decided that he didn't want to have a duel with him, so he backed out. Also, there was other... there was another couple of fights. Henry Edmondson was a representative, and he attacked Lewis Campbell of Ohio. they had two fights out on the grounds of the Capitol.
Oh, wow!
So yeah, that ought to give you
there's been some violence.
Huh?
Definitely, there's been some violence.
Yeah. So that ought to give you an insight as to debates. I'm afraid to go into a debate.
Yeah.
Nowadays, part of going into a debate, you have to have a bulletproof vest.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Got to protect yourself. You never know who's going to come after you.
Right. Well, there's an old cartoon about a guy cleaning a pistol, and the wife comes and says, please don't go back into politics.
Yeah, no. I mean, that saying, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words would never hurt me. It seems like some people cling to words pretty strongly.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, it's a damage to them, their reputation, and they get upset. Well, really upset.
It's dangerous to get into a debate.
Yeah, it is. Well, thank you so much, Louis. This was very interesting. I learned quite a lot. Until next time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Don't forget to like our Facebook page, Miami Memoirs, and be sure to pick up a copy of Louis Rest's new book on Amazon.